Hi, it's Dan from A Bunch of Nuts, and you know, before we start this episode, I want to talk to you about mybookie.com. That's MyBookie. You know, a lot of people ask me who to bet on, and I'm not really sure who's going to win, but I do tell them to use MyBookie. And MyBookie.com, let me tell you, if you use promo code NUTS25, that's NUTS25, they will match you dollar for dollar, your deposit, dollar for dollar, and they'll give you an additional $25 on top of that. So make sure you go to MyBookie.com and use promo code NUTS25 to get started. And you know what? I'm gonna give you some advice here. Here's my best bet. Use this if you want. Miles Sanders over 100 yards against Ohio State. Penn State running back, he's gonna do it. We're gonna talk about why on this episode. We have a huge episode, big cast. We have Aaron Pearson from Sermon Mount Nittany and 14 Bullets. It's gonna be a great, great episode. Make sure you check it out. And as always, let's get started. Hello and welcome back to episode 20 of A Bunch of Nuts. It's Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. And today we have very, very special guest on. It's AP, Aaron Pearson, host of 14 Bullets and now Sermon on Mount Nittany. He's here to talk Penn State. Boys, how are you both doing today?
Doing very well, man. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. I'm all right. Just getting my butt kicked by my new job that I'm doing, so...
So, Aaron, I guess the most important question we want to know is this a rivalry?
You know, that's a very good question, because obviously if you ask James Franklin and a lot of the players, they'll say, you know, Penn State is unrivaled. And, you know, they live up to that mantra pretty well. I mean, for the most part, from a national perspective, not many people look at Penn State and think of an actual rivalry that we have. But from where I stand, I definitely think Penn State and Ohio State are rivals, and not rivals to the point where Ohio State and Michigan is, but more of a friendlier rival, because at least mainly from my perspective, because I live in Columbus, but you know, a lot of my friends are Buckeye fans. We've always got along, and I don't know, just looking at Ohio State and Penn State from a perspective of the whole school in general, they're very, very similar in every category. You look at every single category except for like a few sports, it's always Ohio State and Penn State are like at the very top in the country in anything. So it's really cool, and you know, I have a lot of respect for Ohio State, but in my opinion, I definitely think it's a bit of a rivalry.
AP and I have had conversations after conversations about this, how I think it's definitely a rivalry. And I think Ohio State fans and Penn State fans are starting to understand, is it the level of Ohio State, Michigan, or Alabama, Auburn, or USC, Notre Dame? No, but it's certainly the closest rivalry. It's the closest, if you want to look at it this way, it's the closest matchup in the Big Ten when it comes to with Ohio State. Ohio State and Penn State have the closest percentage. Of course, Ohio State leads it with 18 or 19 victories and only 14 losses because, you know, Penn State was independent for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, since Penn State joined the Big Ten, it's pretty much, you know, it has been favored by Ohio State, but it's awfully darn close.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things, I wouldn't even say it's much of a, I mean, it is a rivalry, but it's not one of those rivalries where it's like, oh, I hate those guys over there. It's one of those things like, oh, I can't wait to play those guys to, like, measure myself up or however you want to say it. It's just one of those things you can't wait to see those teams face each other.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like a not like a little brother, big brother rivalry like they have in Michigan.
Right.
It's more of like a, I guess like your distant cousin or like friend that like you're in like a kind of like a friendly competition with the whole time. Like you just want to be better than. It's like a fun one though. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree too. But I mean, there has been a lot of reports where Penn State fans have not treated Buckeye fans well in the past. I mean, the Ohio State's marching band, however, does not travel to Happy Valley because the last time they were there, not sure what year it was, but their uniforms were damaged by some of the uniforms were damaged by Penn State fans. And
wow.
Ohio State's marching band does not show up to Happy Valley. However, James Franklin has kind of turned that table around. The people with the Ohio State fans enjoy the atmosphere. So we'll see. You know, I'm not sure if Ohio State's marching band will make the trip. I'm hoping.
I know.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things now. Where would they fit them? Because there's so many fans that want to go to that game.
Absolutely. And speaking of the fans are going to the game, Aaron, we got to ask you, what's going on with these Urban Liar t-shirts? We saw Shelly Meyer got a little angry about it on Twitter. You know, she posted about it, that they're making these shirts. Well, I mean, what are your thoughts on this coming from a Penn State fan?
Yeah, man. It's definitely not a good look for the Penn State faithful. For me, I think it's very distasteful on our end. And I say that because, you know, we all know what Penn State went through back in 2011, and all of that came out. I remember fans calling me, or like fans of other teams calling me heinous things, and how Ohio State and probably other schools made shirts about Joe Paul or something, about making a joke about showering in the locker rooms. And it's just one of those things. It was very hurtful, like, during that time. And the fact that you guys are in kind of in the seat that we were in a few years ago, and we're reciprocating that same energy, I don't like that. It's one of those things, you just got to take the higher road.
Yeah, the one thing that I did love what Ohio State did, and this happened when Urban Meyer became the head coach. Before he became the head coach, 2011, both when the tattoo gate and the Jerry Sandusky stuff came out, both teams met at midfield before the game and after game, shaking hands, obviously after the game, but before the game, shaking hands and ultimate respect for each other. And then the 2012 season, Ohio State students, or I don't know if it was considered Ohio State, but someone made t-shirts that said, I'd rather shower at Penn State than root for Michigan, and then Joe Paul nose shirts. Those were banned. The university banned those t-shirts, and that's my next question, AP, and I know we discussed this earlier, but could James Franklin possibly and Penn State possibly do something like what Ohio State did with those shirts and ban the Urban Liar shirts?
I definitely hope so, because, like I said, it's very distasteful on our end, and honestly, something I really didn't expect. I mean, there's always those people in the world that are just, you know, assholes all the time and love to make horrible jokes. But at the same time, you would think from coming from our fan base, we would know out of anybody, we would know more than anybody to not do that because we were in those shoes that you're in kind of five, 6 years ago.
Yeah, and I do know, Aaron, that Ohio State, they banned certain shirts because one time I wore a muck fishing red shirt to a basketball game, and they weren't even playing Michigan. They were playing, like, Iowa or someone, and like the attendant was like, you gotta turn that inside out, and it wasn't even like that, it wasn't even that lewd of a shirt, it was like, just, you know, everyone has those shirts on campus, but yeah. I know Ohio State kind of banned some shirts, but it'll be interesting to see what happens for sure.
Yeah, it'd be like stupid, like when you call, or like when you say Urban Liar or Kent State, that's kind of like stupid-y what SEC, you would think SEC schools would do. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Agreed. I guess now getting onto the football side of things, Aaron, you got to tell me, how good is Miles Sanders? I can't wait to watch this guy run.
Man, bro, I was so excited to watch him. I've been so excited to watch him do exactly what he's doing right now for 3 years now because he was committed to Penn State for a full calendar year before he even stepped foot on campus. He committed as a junior. So, and he was a low five-star, high four-star guy, depending on what recruiting service you followed. But, you know, before Saquon Barkley became Saquon Barkley, when Miles Sanders committed, you know, the whole idea was, you know, this guy is our future. He's the running back at Penn State. He's going to be the guy. And obviously, Saquon Barkley became who he is, and Miles Sanders has had to take a back seat. So, you know, a lot of what you're seeing this year is him taking out the 2 years of frustration on everybody he's playing, and it's definitely showing. He's looking really good.
I mean, I keep repeating this, but on like every form of social media, I keep saying this, and I wrote about it in my article, but he is third among Power 5 running backs in rushing yards. He's only behind Benny Snell and Jonathan Taylor, two Heisman candidates. And I feel like he hasn't even had that big of a game yet. So I really think with, you know, Penn State, they're starting offensive line. They're 6 feet, 4.6 inches, 310 pounds. Without Bosa, the Ohio State D-line is 6 feet, 3.25 inches, and 272.75 pounds. So I think Penn State has a pretty decent advantage up front size right there. I think Miles Sanders is going to have a huge day. He's not going to average 2.1 like Saquon did last year.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree with you right there. I mentioned it on Sermon from Mount Nittany earlier. I mentioned it on 14 Bullets earlier. I agree with you. I think Miles Sanders is in store for over 100 yards, maybe a couple touchdowns. And this could be the game that puts him on that national spotlight, like you said, with the likes of him, of Benny Snell, and what was the other guy that you mentioned?
Wisconsin's back, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor. Thank you. You know, this is definitely that game that could put him on the national scene because last week he had 200 yards and three touchdowns, but that was against Illinois on a Friday night. Like, no one was really paying attention, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's averaging 7 yards a carry this year. And going back to
which is ridiculous.
Before the season even started, I even said, I said to everybody, and everybody looked at me crazy, Penn State's running game this year will be better than it has been in years past.
I think you're right.
Knock on Saquon, it's the offensive line is so much more improved. It's not even funny.
I think Miles Sanders is a really good downhill runner, and they have the line big enough to actually do that now.
Right. Well, here's where I disagree with you both. Ohio, without Nick Bosa, that defensive line is, if not the best in the country.
Clemson.
Draymond Jones and Robert Landers can plug up a middle really well, and that's the biggest test. I still think the advantage goes to Ohio State's defensive line over Penn State's defensive line. The only thing, like you guys said, that could make him have a big day is if that offensive line can get some kind of push and get him in that second level, then that's where the advantage comes, because if they can't, then his day will be just like Barkley's was last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, too, Jonathan Cooper is going to have a huge game.
Yeah, definitely.
And AP, you know Jonathan Cooper.
Yep. Yeah.
You went to high school with him, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, how do you think he's going to perform against Penn State if you had to take a guess? Do you think he's up for the challenge or?
Oh, I definitely think he's up for the challenge. Cooper, he's a guy, you know, I played Pee Wee football with him back when he first started. And, you know, he wasn't the greatest. And he's always been one of those guys. He works his ass off. And, you know, we went to a high school where it's not really known for football. You have to be the man to really stand out and get recruited by the likes of Ohio State and Penn State. Mm-hmm. And I remember he got an offer from Oregon and everybody went crazy. And, I think Cooper, he's up for the task, and look for him to have a pretty decent game on Saturday. I hope it's not too great, but if it is a great game, I cannot be mad because that's a guy that I've known for a long time and wish nothing but the best for him.
Absolutely. Big Cass, did you have any other questions for Aaron?
Nope.
Aaron, thank you so much. Like always, go check out 14 Bullets and his other podcast, Sermon Out on Mount Nittany. It's a Penn State podcast. Before you go, Aaron, can we just get your take on your score prediction?
Yeah, so I'm going to stay consistent with what I've been saying on Sermon and on 14 Bullets. I think it's going to be a decently high-scoring game, not as high-scoring as last year. But obviously I'm going to pick Penn State because how could I not? I'm a Penn State fan. I'm going Penn State 34, Ohio State 30. And, yeah, I'm just looking for it to be a really good game. It's going to be tight down to the wire, possibly a final touchdown drive in the last 2 minutes. It's going to be something special on Saturday.
Can't wait, man. As always, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And that was just AP Aaron Pearson from Sermon on Mount Nittany and 14 Bullets. Big Cass, always good to hear from AP, right?
Yeah, except for this week.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. He's a good buddy of mine. We're classmates at the Ohio Media School, and we became just real good friends. He's a groomsman at my wedding next weekend, so it'd be kind of interesting to see him in that scarlet and gray. Instead of navy and white. He's right when it comes to the rivalries and the t-shirts and stuff. It is like a friendly rivalry, but there is passionate fans on both sides and idiot fans, and just by the reports, being a Buckeye fan going over to Happy Valley is not friendly. And then seeing the band uniforms and the band not going over there because band uniforms getting destroyed is unacceptable.
Absolutely. Penn State does scare me a little, like going into the whiteout, just because the fact that it's such a hostile atmosphere, in my opinion. It's like going basically, like we watched this past weekend, Wisconsin, Iowa. And when they play at Kinnick, it's like an atmosphere like that. The fans are going to be crazy. I mean, it's like coming into the shoe too. So I was just nervous about going. That's why I'm not going, just because I'm not prepared for a whiteout. But I want to get into, I guess, tweet of the week. I don't know if you have one, Big Cass, but I had a really funny one I saw today.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it's from Blocko Blog, and it says, "Great analysis from a Penn State fan on Instagram." And I'm gonna read off what this dude wrote, because it's quite a treat. He says, "C Flores 5171 is his name. He says, "Get ready to take your first L of the season, for pass rush won't even faze McSorley. Nick Boza, B-O-Z-A, so he's a Boza, still out from TCU game. Daniels isn't a fluid or fast." I think he meant Dobbins. We have no idea who this Daniels guy is, Big Cass. "Your corners won't be able to match the speed of Gillum and Robertson running their routes." I have no idea who Gillum is. I'm assuming Robertson's like Tompkins. "Don't get me stated with Haskins, ... Penn State D-line front will pass rush him all day, and he doesn't have the speed of Barrett to escape. So, yeah, he still thinks JT Barrett's playing in this. Penn State 31, OSU 13. Wow.
Yeah, some people just amaze me. I don't have a tweet this week. I tried looking for one, but I don't have one.
That's all right. I mean, you have the new job and everything this week. I'll let it slide. I'll let it slide. Let's get into, I guess, the TCU the Tulane game. Tulane. Let's get into the Tulane game. So Ohio State won. They didn't put as many points, I mean, as we thought they were going to put up. They only put up like 40, what was it, 49?
It's still covered, but Haskins didn't play. Haskins and the starters didn't play at all in the second half. So I think with knowing that we play Penn State this week, Urban Meyer kept them on a short leash.
Absolutely. I mean, the most important thing was there were no really major injuries or really any injuries I remember. Paris Campbell looked fantastic, though, dude. I mean, two touchdowns, over 100 yards. He looks like the real deal this season.
And you benched him on your fantasy team.
I did. I mean, I still won, but I benched him. I mean, I wasn't expecting that, but I know, right? Like, what are the odds Paris Campbell goes off for, like, 150 and two TDs?
You never know. That's the thing about this offense. Mm-hmm. There's a different receiver that's stepped up every week.
Yeah, and then Ben Victor, who we were saying needs to get involved last week, he scored a touchdown his first of the year. Mac scored a touchdown. I mean, it was a really good first half for the receiving core. They look like they're firing on all cylinders.
I swear that Griffin Meyer listens to this podcast.
Yeah, I honestly, no, you were 100% right. During the game, basically everything we said, they listened to. Like, Big Cass, what were the examples?
The twin safety, punt returners. And I even said, put KJ Hill back here.
Oh, yeah, you did. He listened to about,
Ben getting a touchdown.
Victor getting a touchdown, yeah. I mean, everything. We're saying not to run Haskins, really. Maybe, just, like, everything. They just listened to us. It was kind of crazy, actually.
Kind of weird at the same moment.
Mm-hmm. Urban, if you're listening, on play, I'm trying to think someone right.
Do your balls out.
Yeah. Urban, if you're listening, run a fake punt.
Yeah.
They would never see that coming 2 years in a row. But, I mean,
if your field goal gets blocked, tackle the guy.
Tackle the guy, yeah. So, though, Big Cass, obviously we won in dominating fashion. But who do you think earned some Buckeye leaves this week?
Well, obviously Dwayne Haskins, because he's now becoming a Heisman, in my opinion, the Heisman frontrunner. He should be the Heisman frontrunner. He has 17 total touchdowns, 16 touchdown passes, more than any other Big Ten quarterback in history, including JT Barrett, Drew Brees, and Troy Smith, and Kerry Collins, and other great Big Ten quarterbacks. He's putting up better numbers than Tua Tagovailoa, whatever his name is, and Will Grier. He should be Heisman frontrunner. But you know what? I kind of like it, because when the Heisman talks come, teams seem to struggle.
My concern, Big Cass, is the fact that Haskins might be peaking too early, and is he do you think he's a September Heisman victim?
I don't think so.
You don't think?
He's just too good. I think he's too good, and there's so much talent on this football team that for him to do that. Others who earned Buckeye leaves, I gave Ben Victor, because if you watch Ben Victor, he's only got one touchdown catch, but he maybe had like five or six receptions on the season. He does more than just catch a football and run routes. He's probably the best downfield blocker we have in the wide receiver group. probably the best downfield blocker, and then the stat line doesn't show that.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, he's a fantastic – he's a good stock blocker. But speaking of blocking, though, big cast receivers, did you see Terry McLaurin taking out two blockers on one play?
Yeah, I did.
Amazing.
Terry McLaurin is having a fantastic senior year. I think he could be picked up in the sixth round and be, you know, useful for some NFL teams.
Absolutely.
And speaking of blockers, I had to put Isaiah Prince in Vern Buckeyes. He's been fantastic this season protecting half of the blind side. Knock on wood, because they do play Penn State this week. And I've been nothing but critical of him during the offseason. And the block he made on that Tulane player was outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, he just, like, forearm shivered him right in the chest, and the dude just dropped.
Yes. And Paris Campbell, obviously, he catches 174 yards and three touchdowns. And even Los Angeles Lakers star LeBron James went to Twitter and noticed.
He did. I mean, I just imagine you're in college and LeBron's tweeting at you. Like, that must be the best day ever.
I think Paris Campbell's from the Cleveland area, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I'm positive he's met LeBron because, you know, he's been in the locker room before and everything. But, I mean, that just must be so cool for a player, seeing, like, you know, LeBron, like, watches their games and, like, is cheering for them. I can't imagine how that feels.
I used to say, imagine going to an Ohio State football game as a recruit and looking over and seeing LeBron James on the sidelines. Or if you went to that Michigan game in 2016 and you saw the championship Cleveland Cavaliers, you know?
Yeah, like J.R. Smith and Kyrie and all those guys. That's awesome. I mean, to that Cleveland team, after they won the championship at like the perfect time, because they had like that weird gap where it was before the basketball season, but all the good sports were still on. So like they were going to all the Indians World Series games, all like the Ohio State games, like celebrating.
Yeah, it was outstanding.
It was. So I mean, we kind of previewed Penn State. Big Cass, I mean, what are your thoughts on the game? I think we kind of skipped on you when we were talking to AP, but I want to talk more about it with you.
I am a little nervous, as I should be, because we're playing a top 10 opponent on the road in one of the greatest environments in college football. But I also feel really confident at the same time, because on paper, Ohio State matches up in every position better than Penn State. The running game, we have 2,000-yard rushers. Yes, Miles Sanders is having a great year, but I don't know if he's as good as that duo is, because who's his backup?
Yeah, Ricky Slade, I'm pretty sure, is out for the season now. He was one of the backups.
I think our offensive line is better than their defensive line. I think our defensive line is better than their offensive line. I think our wide receivers are better than their corners. The only position group that concerns me is the DBs versus Trace McSorley. I think that, but that being said, there is no Deshaun Hamilton or Gesicki, and I think our DBs could have a good game. Because if you look at our DBs, the coverage is there,
mm-hmm.
but they make minimal mistakes when it comes to they turn their head, or why do they make a play on the ball and not just play coverage, or, you know, or they just go for the interception and they get out-muscled. I mean, the Tulane guy, poor Jeffrey Okuda last week had a fantastic interception just for it to be called back as an offside. And then the next play, he goes up for the ball again and doesn't make a defender play. He just tries to intercept the ball again. That's one thing that really concerns me about the DBs. They are getting better, though. I think they are getting better in our line. If they can tackle Penn State, Ohio State not only shouldn't have a problem with Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, I'm a little concerned about their that freshman receiver they have, KJ Hamler. You know, he's a 5'9". He's a redshirt freshman, but the dude is a burner. He has 170 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns on just 9 catches, and he also scored like a rushing touchdown against Pittsburgh, and he's averaging 30 yards per return on kickoff. So this dude's a stud. Then they also have Juwan Johnson and DeAndre Tompkins and Brandon Polk, all solid receivers. I think their receiving core is very underrated. And then
they're just not performing.
No, they're not. But they're sneaky. That's what kind of concerns me. They're definitely.
Yeah, that's what concerns me too. But that's the only real group that I think that really concerns me. I think our defensive line is just so outstanding. If they put pressure on McSorley, which I think they can, it could be a long night for Penn State. And the thing with Ohio, Penn State does not want to get in a shootout with Ohio State at all. And the thing is I think Dobbins and Weber are going to have huge games because Pitt ran all over them. Appalachian State ran all over them. And so did Illinois. And we have by far better running backs than those teams. And Paris Campbell, if you get him out on the edge on those shovel passes, nobody's catching Paris Campbell.
Well, too, the thing about, I guess, the running game and everything is the fact that we just need to stick to it, I feel like. We can't let – Ohio State cannot allow the Penn State crowd to, like, give that defense momentum. I mean, if that crowd gets into it, they make a big play – that defense, they're going to be flying around. Sharif Miller, you know, gets a big sack, or even Micah Parsons comes off the edge, gets a sack. That's going to create so much noise and momentum. I'm afraid that our offensive line is going to have trouble communicating, essentially, and we might panic.
I think Dwayne Haskins will make plays, and I think he'll make plays early that the crowd will be a little bit of a non-factor. I think Haskins has the capability of just throwing the ball downfield because I think our wide receivers are a lot better than their DBs.
I do agree that. I mean, they lost a lot of talent in the offseason. They lost Marcus Allen, Troy Apke, and Grant Haley. And
yeah, I think, honestly, the advantage that Penn State has over Ohio State is the crowd and Trace McSorley because they do have a veteran quarterback.
He's never lost a home start in college.
It's going to happen this Saturday.
I don't know, man. I'm nervous. I think it's going to be a fantastic game, but the line was what, like 3.5 right now, I believe, for Penn State plus 3.5, so Ohio State minus 3.5. That is a small line, Big Cass. Like, I don't know.
I think the Buckeyes win by 10.
By 10? Ooh.
I think the winner of this game wins by 10.
Why do you think that?
I just do.
My question, too, my biggest question is, how are our linebackers going to hold up? Like, I mean, how are we going to, you know, contain Miles Sanders?
I think if the defensive line puts pressure and gets good penetration, that I think Tough Borland's going to have a great game. I think Pete Warner's going to have a great game, and I think Malik Harrison's going to have a good game. And keep in mind, Baron Browning too. Ohio State rotates their defensive line, so that'll keep them fresh. And that's how Ohio State beat Penn State last year, because they kept rotating defensive players. And Tyreek Smith is having an outstanding freshman season too.
He is. He's part of the, like I said last week, I believe he's part of the Rushman package. So big things from him. He's kind of taking almost like that Jalen Holmes role, I feel like.
Yes, he is. And he's wearing the same number, so.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly. I literally think he's Jalen Holmes out there. But I agree, Big Cass. So let's get into our love to see it, hate to see it of the week. Big Cass, what I hated to see today, I guess now we're kind of pivoting away from Penn State and all this, getting into our segments, but what I hated to see was Kelly Bryant lost his starting job at Clemson. That stinks.
Yeah, he's transferring.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought he was a pretty good quarterback, to be honest, but
I think he's getting a roll into the deal because just like how Jalen Hurts is, yes, those guys are good, Trevor Lawrence and Tua, but Trevor Lawrence is a true freshman, and granted, yeah, Dabo Swinney's, okay, I'll go with Trevor Lawrence this year now, because we don't play anybody ranked. I guarantee it, when they play the ACC championship game, it might be just Miami, because Virginia Tech lost to
a country band, Old Dominion.
Country band, Old Dominion. And Miami might be the only ranked team they play. I mean, the ACC, people talk about how the Big Ten's down, the ACC is worse. And I think, with that being said, Clint, they went, yeah, he's probably the better quarterback of the two. But Kelly Bryant won them a lot of games, just like Jalen Hurts did.
Yeah, I mean, it's what Kelly Bryant kind of reminds me of, like a poor man's JT Barrett, you know, like scrambles a lot, do a lot of QB reads and runs with him and everything. And I just really felt for the kid because I thought he put a lot of time into Clemson, really enjoyed it there, wanted to be the guy, but, you know, he's also got to look out for himself.
Yeah, he does. I think Kelly Bryant's going to go to a school that's going to need a quarterback. Heck, Michigan may need a quarterback next year, and they might have two quarterbacks to go after, and Kelly Bryant and Jalen Hurts.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine they get both of them and neither of them pan out?
Yeah.
I totally see that.
I think the next best fit for Kelly Bryant would be, I would love to see him in UCLA run a Chip Kelly offense. He would be so good out there.
That's actually a great, great fit. I love that. I was gonna say like Texas for some reason.
Jalen Hurts also would be great at UCLA.
Absolutely. I was gonna say Kelly Bryant at Texas. I don't know why. I just thought that'd be a cool little thing to see, but I like that. I like that big cast. Kelly Bryant at UCLA.
Or, I mean, either one of them. You could put Texas or UCLA.
Absolutely. Now, what I love to see this week, big cast, is I picked up Trevor Lawrence in fantasy football. as savage as that is, he's so good, dude. He's so good. I mean, he's going to throw probably like 30 touchdown passes this season. He has nine touchdown passes, and he hasn't even started, and it's been four right. games. He's a monster.
I love to see is I'm 3-0 in my money league with three blowout wins in my fantasy football leagues.
Congrats.
Three blowouts.
Who's your quarterback?
Cam Newton.
That's why. Cam Newton's a monster.
I have Cam Newton, Todd Gurley, Travis Kelce, Jordan Howard, Mike Evans, Matt Breida, Devin Funchess, and they are leading the way.
Is Matt Breida your flexer?
Yes.
That's filthy, dude. That team's unreal. He's like your worst player, and he's like one of the best.
Actually, my worst player is Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, gosh.
I've been rotating him and who did I rotate? Because we run three wide receivers. I've been rotating Larry Fitzgerald and, oh, man, somebody else. Oh, Ted Ginn Jr.
Ted Ginn. He's still got it, though. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I had to pick, because with Carolina being on bye week, I had to pick up Joe Flacco and I had to pick up some other wide receiver. I think I had another one on my bench, but I forget who it is. So I may go down this week. I don't know. I'm hoping Todd Gurley and Matt Breida and Jordan Howard just and Travis Kelce just win it for me, and maybe Mike Evans. So.
Yeah, I feel like you should be pretty good to go with that team. What'd you hate this week?
Well, I hate to see the fact that, you know, much of anything, but I hate to see the fact that the Reds are just completely, they hired Jim Riggleman as their skipper for next year. The guy who's already been there and
World Series bound.
Yeah, the thing, it hasn't even changed. I love to see that. I'm throwing this back, but I do love to see that AJ Green has no other groin or abdominal issues, and he'll be back this week against Atlanta.
Thank God.
Shootout Bengals. So
I have him in fantasy. I need him. I guess though, I kind of want to get back to Kelly Bryant. So one man's garbage is one man's trash is another man's treasure. Or what? Yeah. Or if you're a fan of Trailer Park Boys, to anyone out there, quote from Ricky: one person's garbage is another's good ungarbage. But Kelly Bryant, yeah, Kelly Bryant, man, the SEC wants him.
Oh yeah, they do. I mean, I think he would look good in Florida. I think Dan Mullen offense. No, they need a passer.
Getting into the bashing the SEC segment, Big Cass, I'll give you the two teams that are interested in Kelly Bryant, and you tell me if you're surprised.
Well, Arkansas, I did see, was one of them.
Yep, that's one.
I'm not surprised there, but I don't know who the other one is.
Auburn.
Honestly, he would be really good with Auburn.
You think?
Yeah, well, under Gus Malzahn, I think he'd be really good with Auburn.
Yeah, actually, I could see a little Cam Newton in him.
Yeah, what about Tennessee?
They could use anyone.
they could use me at quarterback.
That'd be great.
5'11", 340-pound quarterback would be the next Jared Lorenzen.
The hefty lefty. He was fun to watch in college. He played at Kentucky, and speaking of Kentucky, Big Cass, I also had this on the script. So Benny Snell, he's a Westerville, he's a Kentucky starting running back, basically a Heisman candidate at this point. He's out of Westerville, right, you know, suburb of Columbus, Ohio, and he was recently interviewed, and he's talking about being snubbed by Ohio State, and he says, "I'm so glad I'm at Kentucky. I'm so glad I became the man I am. I'm bigger than I thought I'd ever be."
Okay, you've had no disrespect, Benny Snell. You've had one good season. Ohio State has 2,000-yard running backs.
And well, the problem is too that class though, the class of 2016. I guess we kind of did miss on him though, because the fact that we took DeMario McCall and Antonio Williams. That's kind of a bummer.
And J.K. Dobbins.
No, Dobbins was 17, I thought.
Yeah, he was 2017. Yeah, that is true, but no, because we have
Wait, what about Weber?
We had Weber too.
I'm not sure that article was correct then, but it said McCall and Antonio Williams.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is right, because Weber was 2015, because he redshirted. That's right.
True, true, true. But, yeah, I just found that, I mean, it is frustrating that Ohio State did miss him, but he wouldn't be able to fit in at all.
No, he wouldn't be the starting. He would have to transfer.
Yeah, it wouldn't have ended well, so I'm glad he made that choice, but if he went to Ohio State, things would not be different. I mean, things would be completely different for him. Yeah. Getting right into what that team up north is up to, Big Cass, we love Joel Klatt, but he is officially on the Michigan stock train right now. He's saying, buy their stock. They're going up. They're on the rise. What are your thoughts on this?
I agree. They are on the rise. Do I think they're on the rise of the level of Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, maybe Penn State, Georgia? No, I don't. I don't think they would beat any of those schools. Now if they go out and beat Wisconsin pretty handily, which isn't hard to do because their defense gave up a lot of yards, I kind of agree. I think they are on the rise, but I don't think they're the on the level of Ohio State, maybe Penn State, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia.
I mean, I think they're definitely a contender this season, because that Notre Dame loss is not looking bad at all at this point. If Notre Dame keeps it up, I mean, it's only going to be week five. But
I mean, honestly, who's Notre Dame played?
Wake Forest, I know. Bowling Green.
Ball State.
They haven't had the greatest schedule, to be honest, but the more Notre Dame keeps winning, the worse that loss looks. And if Michigan can get it figured out, especially with Shea Patterson kind of. What?
I said the best that loss looks.
Yeah, I mean, a loss is a loss, but, I mean, it's a loss to Notre Dame.
Yeah, it is.
But, I don't know, man. We'll see about that. I'm just not sure what to think of Michigan at this point. I know they beat.
They are on the uprise. I don't think they're to the levels of what they should be. I wouldn't go out and buy stock on them.
I don't buy stocks in a lot of things. And the fact that, I mean, they beat Nebraska too, but who is Nebraska? I mean, Nebraska hasn't won a game.
I don't know who's worse, Rutgers or Nebraska.
And I would have never expected it to be this bad, man. They are just not a good football team.
Mm-mm. No. I got a question. Does Chris Ash make it past this season?
I mean, he might, just because the fact that I don't think Rutgers is already paying money at this point, and I don't think they feel like they want to go out and get a new coach, because they might as well just ride it out. I mean, there's no point. I mean, who else are they going to get? It's Rutgers. It's like you go there and you're going to, unless they can get Schiano, like, there's no point.
I think he's gone.
Ash? I mean, he hasn't done a good job.
No, and I don't think they hire an Ohio State assistant either.
I just, they've had.
I almost see them getting Butch Jones.
That would be hilarious. Oh my gosh. But Big Cass, I mean, like, they haven't found a quarterback in, like, years. Like, it's not that hard to find a quarterback. Like, it's college. just get someone competent who can throw the ball. But they get, like, these freaks who just don't know how to throw a ball. Like, it's like they're like, throwing a. They're throwing with, like, their opposite arm. It's crazy, man. I mean, I just don't understand it.
It is crazy.
And they run these, like, you think Michigan runs a bad offense. Watch a Rutgers game, Big Cass. They don't run anything special.
I saw it in person, just like you did.
It's the most boring thing. I mean, it's like they try to run the ball, but they stink at it. And then their quarterback's even worse.
Yeah, Wisconsin and Iowa run boring offenses too.
At least they play complementary football. Rutgers just plays the orb of confusion ball. Like, they're just confused the whole time.
Yeah, they do.
So, as we wrap up here, Big Cass, what are your keys to the game?
Well, the keys to the game are basically play Ohio State football. Don't let the whiteout distract you, because on paper and you are more talented than this football team. Just don't let the crowd distract you and go out and play Buckeye football. Run the rock like I think J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber can. I think J.K. Dobbins is going to have an outstanding game. I think Dwayne Haskins continues to do what he's doing. And don't over-penetrate on defense. Linebackers have to make plays, and I think the Ohio State would be just fine.
I'm going to say, make sure we ride the hot running back. Whoever's hot that day, just keep feeding him.
Exactly.
That's my key to the game. Just ride the hot running back. Still, don't make it too hard for Haskins. I think we're – I know we love Haskins and think he's like the next, you know, number one overall pick, you know, Heisman or whatever. But we got to remember, this is like his first – I know TCU was a test, but this is also a huge test. We got to get his confidence up early. I know it sounds kind of dumb because everyone's like, oh, he's great throwing. You know, let's throw some quick, easy completions. Maybe get the tight ends involved because every year the tight ends have a big year against Penn State. Marcus Ball, you know, huge game last year. Let's look for the tight ends a little and, you know, let's not get flustered.
I agree. I got the Buckeyes winning 38-28.
You're going to hate me. I got Penn State winning 31-30.
About to pull your Buckeye card.
I know, dude. I mean, I predicted it on your podcast, 14 Bullets. I did predict it a couple weeks ago when we did the Ohio State preview.
Yeah.
And I gotta stick to my guns. I think without Nick Bosa, man, we're in trouble.
I don't think we are. I really don't. I just think Ohio State plays a chip on their shoulder, and I think Ohio State. Like I said, I think Ohio State would go undefeated.
I mean, that's a bold.
Because the way it's looking, Alabama will probably go undefeated. Georgia will lose. I think Clemson will go undefeated, and I think Notre Dame's going to go undefeated. I think that last spot will come down. I think the last spot will come down to the Big Ten champion or the Big 12 champion, and I think Ohio State would have to be almost undefeated to get in.
That's crazy. You think Notre Dame's going to go undefeated?
They don't play anybody else.
They play Stanford and USC.
I think they'll get beat, but I think they'll beat Stanford.
No way.
I bet they beat Stanford. Have you watched Stanford? They're
good.
Football team.
They're good, dude. They win. They're 4-0. They just escaped in Eugene. I think Stanford's very good. They haven't even gotten Bryce Love really going yet, Big Cash. You got to realize, Bryce Love has like 2 touchdowns on the year. He's not himself.
I think Stanford loses this weekend. I really do.
Let's bet on it. All right, let's do a friendly wager. If Stanford wins, beats Notre Dame this year, I don't know. What should we bet on?
I don't know, man.
If Stanford beats Notre Dame. Oh, wow. Well, you know, we're just gonna tweet it out when we decide.
Alright.
For our listeners. But we're gonna end our show with that. Look for Twitter for our friendly wager between me and Big Cass. I got my money on Stanford. And if you got your money on anything, make sure to check out mybookie.com. That's mybookie.com. You know, they have great reviews online and they're your best bet. So use promo code NUTS, that's NUTS, and if you use promo code NUTS25, that's NUTS25, you get an additional $25 on your deposit and they match it dollar for dollar. So check out mybookie.com and use NUTS, NUTS25. That'll do it for this episode. Big Cass, thank you so much for coming on.
Always.
And I hope Ohio State wins. I really do. I hope they win. I'm nervous, man. I'm nervous. It's a huge game.
I'm nervous too, but I still think the Buckeyes win by 10.
My heart's telling me it. My head's telling me Penn State. But go Bucks and win the moment.
Win the moment.
This has been a Bunch of Nuts presented by Armchair All-Americans. Take a seat with us.